We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we honor, whom we serve, whom we worship, whom we praise, whom we preach. You remember in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, after the Apostle Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom Satan, the god of this age, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Then he said, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then he said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and we are God's servants, ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And remember this, a person may be benevolent and kind and humble and gentle and gracious and philanthropic and moral, upright, honest, sincere, religious, and still not be a Christian. Because a Christian is one who is a Christ one. That means that he not only tries to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it means that first of all, he has been by faith to meet God at Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. Then he said that I might know Christ in the power of his resurrection, and in the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable unto his death. The Lord Jesus was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. That we read in the closing verses of Romans 4. Then in the ninth chapter of Hebrews, we read that he entered once into heaven after he had shed his blood, and he took his own blood into heaven, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Or as we read it in Hebrews 10, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now we want to talk to you a little about the first coming and the second coming of the Son of Man. You remember the question the Lord Jesus asked in Luke 18:8? He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, what do you think about that? Do you think he'll find faith on earth when he comes? Well, according to the Greek construction, that question calls for the negative answer. And the answer is that Christ will not find faith on earth when he comes as the Son of Man. Now, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is never called the Son of Man in connection with his relation to the members of the body of Christ, the church which is his body, never called the Son of Man. Paul wrote 14 epistles. Remember, 14, he has a ministry in 14 of the New Testament books, and never once did the Apostle Paul speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. Now we read in the Matthew 26:24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. The Son of Man goeth. That referred to his death on the cross. He said, it's expedient for you that I go, and if I do not go, he said, then the Holy Spirit will not come. For he said, the Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now notice what he says in Luke 21. We read in Matthew 26:24 that the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. Now let's read what it says in the 21st chapter of Luke. And here in the 27th verse, Luke 21:27, it says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now, he's not talking about members of the body of Christ. He's talking about the nation Israel. Of course, the coming of the Lord is the hope of the church, the members of the body of Christ, for we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But remember here, he is not talking about the hope of the church. He's talking about the hope of Israel, the hope of God's ancient kingdom nation. You remember in the 11th chapter of Romans, it says a blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and then Israel shall be saved. Out of Zion shall come the deliverer who will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant when I shall take away their sin. So we have here in Luke 21:27, "Ye shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And notice what he says, "So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand." Well, we know that in a certain sense the kingdom of God is at hand now. But the kingdom of God to which the Lord referred in Matthew 21, verses 24 to 33, was not the kingdom of God at this present time. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, have been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. But remember this. The Lord Jesus told in the 25th of Matthew that he was coming back to this earth as the Son of Man to be a king and a judge. And according to the Matthew 25 there, all the nations of the earth are going to be gathered in his presence, and he's going to separate them as a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. He's going to say to those on the right hand, "Come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world." That's wonderful. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world, according to Acts 15:18. And so this kingdom that the Lord is going to establish on this earth will be the one that was prepared from the foundation of the world. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man more than 80 times in the Bible. But isn't it strange that no one ever called him the Son of Man while he was on earth except the Lord called himself the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. And the only time anyone called him the Son of Man is in the 15th of John, where the bewildered people said, "Who is this Son of Man?" Well, Christ said, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." And he said, "What if you should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" And many times he speaks of the Son of Man. The first one to mention him as the Son of Man was Stephen in the 7th of Acts, when he looked up and saw the opened heaven. And he said, "I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now, this is a very peculiar title. Some people think that you make the Lord Jesus less divine and more human by calling him the Son of Man rather than calling him the Son of God. But, you know, it's a mystical title. If you take all those 82 times that you find the title the Son of Man and trace them through, you'll find that rather a mystical title, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is not, he's really hidden in that great title. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. And he said, "No man hath seen God at any time." The only begotten in the bosom of the Father, he hath revealed him. No man hath ascended up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven, who also is in heaven. Now here's a poem I wrote entitled, The Prince of Peace is Coming. The Prince of Peace is coming. God has a kingdom plan. As King and Judge he's coming, Christ the Son of Man. The whole creation's groaning, creatures strive and rage. God's own word assures us of the coming golden age. The coming King of Glory will make all wars to cease. Instead of strife and violence, he'll bring a reign of peace. The Lord will save his nation, restore and heal and bless. In the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of world distress. There'll be great signs in heaven, great sorrows here on earth. War and tribulation and pestilence and dearth. The man of sin deceiving with miracle and sign will rule with mighty power, will be worshipped as divine. With the other beast of Satan in political control, it will be his mark or vengeance for every living soul. At this time of tribulation, to this earth with all its woes, the Lord will come in judgment and conquer all his foes. And when the King of Glory shall begin his earthly reign, we have the words of Jesus, I'll go and come again. Peace and plenty is God's promise this reign of Christ will bring. No war, no want, no sorrow when Jesus reigns as King. His peace and righteous kingdom shall continue to increase. And on the throne of David he'll reign as Prince of Peace. But before this earthly glory, yea, before the darkest days, the blessed Lord is coming, the dead in Christ to raise. In resurrection bodies, these with saints still here shall be caught away to heaven in glory to appear. Death may overtake us, but our hope is not to die, but be changed at Christ's appearing in the twinkling of an eye. Of that transforming moment we're told in God's own book, and for that hope so blessed the redeemed should ever look. To reign with Christ in glory is God's promise of reward, if we suffer while we're waiting. If we suffer for the Lord, it will mean to miss earth's sorrows in the coming day of wrath. How blessed then, believers, who choose God's righteous path. Oh, what bliss eternal for sinners saved by grace, no death, no sin, no sickness when we behold his face. Above with Christ the Savior, where joy shall never cease, this the great salvation in the gospel of his peace. Because the Lord of glory went to Calvary's tree, because he suffered there for sinners, died for you and me. Christ's death is unavailing and his sacrifice for naught. If you reject God's mercy, the redemption Christ hath wrought, then why despise God's goodness and choose eternal grief? Why neglect the great salvation and die in unbelief?